am style challenged when it comes to my home. Don't tell my hubby I said that, because I'm usually trying to give input on colors of walls and furniture design. But the truth is, between you and me, I am a little style challenged. Good thing I know a lot of people who are better at these things than I am. And one of them is Susie Bittner, an interior designer and accredited home staging specialist that we have here in studio today. Welcome to WJBC, Susie.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for having me.
You were a very good girl to talk to, because anybody that was actually put onto the Extreme Home Makeover show has obviously got skills. Now, I know Extreme Home Makeover ended on television a little while ago, but tell me about the story of how you got involved in being on their show.
Well, it all started in being an interior designer. I always had an issue with hanging things on the walls. It was always difficult for me to calculate with math, and so I came up with this idea called Spot Stots. It's my own invention, and it allows you to hang anything on a wall in just seconds. So I started using Spot Stots just for my own personal use. And one day I was watching the Extreme Makeover Home show, and I thought, now there's some people that could use some Spot Stots.
Because they're doing everything so quickly and so fast.
Yeah, they do everything really in a week. So I sent an email just to their general email, and wasn't really sure if I would hear back, but I did. So I got an email, and then there was a conference call, then a couple more conference calls. Then they were sending out an executive, a producer to my house, and they wanted to film me showing how to use Spot Stots, and also they wanted to get some for prototypes so that they could do some testing.
And it all turned out into 6 episodes of the show.
Yep,
they were
6.
Using it.
I'm not sure how many they used it for, but I did end up getting a trade-out agreement from the show, which basically said that we're going to allow you to use our logo and reference us in any of your propaganda. So
now, here's the thing, Susie. You're a well-known interior designer here in the Bloomington, Normal, and beyond area. We'll call you Central Illinois. But yet you don't have Spot Stots on the commercial market yet. So at this point in time, people would really have to hire you to get to see how wonderful this invention is.
Yes, that's correct. I do use Spot Stots when I'm working with clients, and I think maybe in the future you will see Spot Stots available.
They have this show called Shark Tank, since you're good with reality television.
I know. I've been told by so many people that I definitely need to get on Shark Tank with it. So,
well,
who knows, maybe you'll see me there.
I wish you the best of luck on getting that done.
Thank you.
Because it sounds like a magnificent thing. My husband and I go back and forth as to where to put pictures on the wall or art on the wall. He's 6'5". I'm 5'10".
Right.
And eye line is supposed to be sometimes a concern when you're picking out things. And between the two of us, boy, when shorter people come into our home, they think they're Lilliputians because everything is all way up here. So I look forward to learning more about the Spot Stots, but we can't give the secret recipe on the air because they're not for sale.
Right.
So let's move on to things we can talk about. It's spring. You're an interior designer. There are things I want to know to refresh my home. And for those who are listening and they know that I love real estate, if you're ever staging your home to try and put it on the market, this is something that you do professionally. So let's start with the interior design side, okay?
Okay.
When do I need to hire an interior designer? When I'm just inadequate in picking out colors, or when I'm buying new furniture, or what should be the moment where you think, this is beyond me and somebody could help?
I would say that you should talk to the designer when you first start thinking about doing some changes. They might end up saving you a lot of money because they could say, you know what, I really do like the sofa love seat that you have, and I think that we can work with it if we just make a few changes. So I would contact a designer like myself as soon as you realize that something is needing to be changed,
something
we can help you plan it right from the beginning.
Cost effectiveness is true, because I've met a lot of designers who end up having the ability to go to different supply houses, furniture stores, and get things at a discount because
Correct.
They are a licensed or registered interior designer.
Yep.
But we all watch these DIY shows.
Right.
There's all channels that are dedicated to it. And they make us think that we're better at doing things than we really are. So the first question is, if I want to talk to a designer, is that first meeting free or should I expect a fee?
Well, for me, I'm actually going to be running a special for all of your listeners, Susan, where typically to have me come out for a two-hour consultation is $199.
But that's 2 hours of your time.
It is 2 hours of my time. And all your listeners are going to get a special rate of $99.
For 2 hours.
For 2 hours of me going room by room, giving you suggestions, recommendations. Sometimes I even move furniture or even stage decor during that two-hour period. And all you need to do is contact me and let me know that you heard me on the radio to get that discount.
Well, that's fun. Okay. But that gives me an idea of how much it costs. And in 2 hours, you might be done with me at that point. And then you're going to send me on the way to handle whatever's next that I could actually do it myself?
Yes, exactly.
I like this. All right. So if you want to get in touch with Susie, and behind your name, which Bittner is spelled B-U-E-T-T-N-E-R, FYI, in case you're Googling Susie, is AHS. What does that stand for?
AHS stands for Accredited Home Staging Specialist.
Okay.
It is a designation that you can get through Realtor.com. And it's a series of courses that you have to take, and there is also a final exam mm-hmm. that you have to pass. And that means that you become a certified stager. And staging is, it's actually a specialty of interior design, where you really are designing a house specifically to appeal to the maximum number of buyers and thus get the highest amount of money for your house.
That's good to know,
yeah.
Because if people are looking for a person that's got skills, hey, there's a test. Didn't know there was a test. So the easiest place for people to find you, I'm assuming, is to call 433-5894, but I never remember phone numbers that are on the radio.
You know, another thing that they can do is I'm actually in the Pantograph. So if you look in the Pantograph underneath real estate, mm-hmm. you'll see my picture.
Okay.
And that has all my information as well.
Do you have Facebook?
I do have a Facebook.
So we can look up Susie on Facebook.
Yep.
B-U-E-T-T-N-E-R for Susie Bittner. Back to interior design first, and then we'll go into home staging, I promise, because I got lots of questions for you, Susie.
Okay.
When people are starting to work on a home design project, which are the hardest rooms in the home to do well that you should really consider talking to a designer first?
I would say number one is the kitchen. And that's because that's the heart of the home. And that is also where you're going to spend a lot of money. If you're going to remodel a kitchen, you might be looking at $15,000, depending on what you're going to replace. And also, I think bathrooms. Bathrooms can get very pricey if you're working with mosaic tile or ceramic tile, or you want certain fixtures. So those are the two areas, bathrooms and kitchens. And by the way, those are also two of the focal points when you're selling your house that the buyers are going to be looking at is how does your kitchen look? How do your bathrooms look?
Now, when you come in as an interior designer and you come to terms with a person that you're going to redo a room with, do you stay with them through the project, including helping find the labor and finding some of the contractors to do that work? Is that also part of your profession?
Yeah, I do. I'm with you every step of the way. A lot of times we'll meet each other at like a Lowe's or a Menards, and we'll look at different finishes. We'll look at different sinks. We'll look at different countertops together. And then I do have a list of providers, construction specialists that I can go to that I've worked with before, and I have confidence that they're going to do a great work for you.
Sometimes that's the best advantage of working with a designer is they know who can actually do the work well.
Right, exactly.
And somebody you can trust. So when you're going through these design projects, you've probably worked on some magnificent things in the area. Mm-hmm. What have been some of your favorite projects? Anything that we might recognize?
I did a little bit of Orange Leaf, the yogurt shop.
Sure.
I did some work there. So if you ever go into Orange Leaf, you'll see some of my design work there. Mostly just private homes.
Anybody that maybe we've seen on the garden walk, or I love the home tours. Gosh, those are my favorite thing in the whole wide world.
I love the home tours as well. I mean, that's I love real estate. I love design. So it's the two put together for sure.
Is there the future when it comes to interior design of working with more electronics and technology? It seems like every time I turn around, there's another app to try and improve my life. Has there been any apps or technology that you've recommended to people that are working on design projects that are actually positive?
You know, there are some design softwares, applications out there. I've used them before. I find that for the average person, they're probably a little bit advanced.
Okay.
So if you want, they have some free on the internet. You can download them. But before you invest in that, you might want to check with your design specialist. Maybe they know which ones would be best for you, or they use one themselves.
I know when my husband and I were building our house, we had already the plans for the house, but we were trying to figure out colors for the curb appeal. And we ended up with I think it was Better Homes and Gardens, helped us when we were trying to run through color schemes. And
right.
That's how we ended up with our fabulous red siding. And that was something most people wouldn't have chosen in the world. But, you know, it had more of a farmhouse design. And at first, when you just slapped that on there, you're like, oh, God, no, let's not do that. But once you start adding in black trim, black roof, white soffits, white gutters and things, all of a sudden, hey, that kind of came together in a nice way.
Once you have a big plan and everything falls together, it's one thing just to say like, oh, I'm just going to paint the siding red, mm-hmm. and not have a plan on how you're going to finish everything else. But it sounds like you had everything planned out.
And it was a nice little piece of technology that helped us visualize it ahead of time. So
sure.
That's why I wasn't sure if in your world you are able to bring in like a tablet or a computer and kind of show people how things might look when it's completed before you make the decision to start on the project.
Well, I'm actually a mural artist, too, so a lot of times I'll do the actual sketch. I'll sketch it out and show them what and fill in the colors and things like that and do different colors. This is what it looks like with mocha. This is what it looks like with hazelnut.
Oh, you've got skills, woman.
Yeah. So
this is fantastic.
So I like to do sketches. I think for me it's a lot faster to do it, and it feels more that I'm giving of myself because I'm taking time to do that.
Now, Susie, one more question before we go to break, and then we'll come back and talk more about home staging. If you
okay.
are in the real estate market right now, some tips and tricks that will help you make your property look even better for buyers that are out in full force right now. I'm
yes,
sure your
they
phone
are.
Is ringing off the hook. If I was going to hire an interior designer, what things should I prepare in my head or on a list or in my home to answer for you when you arrive? Because we want to make everybody's time valuable because we're getting charged by the hour. So what type of things maybe should I prepare before you get there?
Well, I think the number one thing is that you need to know what your style is. A lot of interior designers can work all different styles, and a lot of people don't know what the name of their style is. So I think the best thing you can do is go on the internet and look and find photos of decor that you like and print it off and make a little book. And what you can do is show that interior designer, hey, this is what I want. These are the kind of things that I like. And based on that, the designer will be able to know what your style is. I think that's the best thing that you can do.
My style is leftovers and free and donations and anything that I could steal from somebody else in the family that just didn't want it anymore. Hodgepodge, is that a
Believe
style?
Believe it or not, I could work that. I could work that.
Collectors of goop. Yeah, that's what I am. Thank you so much, Susie, for coming to join
Thank
us
you.
Today. We've got a lot more free advice on interior design staging from Susie Bittner after this short timeout on WJBC and WJBC.com. It's 1023. 1026. Susie, I think I'm going to have you come back on another day and answer questions from people because we just got our first unexpected caller off the air, and you gave a great answer. Jane wanted to know about having one of these 1970s-style home intercom systems.
Right.
And she said, do I find a way to update it, or I just take it out? And your answer was succinct and eloquent. You said, take it out. It's not going to be used by anybody else. And it's probably going to be a negative to people shopping for the home.
Right.
So thanks for helping Jane out today.
Sure.
Just out of curiosity, who's your special market that should really think of having a home stager? Is it anybody particular in the home buying world? Any specific demographic?
I would say the younger generation needs home staging because they tend to have different style than what typical buyers are looking for. And also people over 35.
Empty nesters,
for sure. People who have the big house, they raise their kids, everybody's out of the house. And now they want to move to a smaller house with a...
They're looking for to downsize.
They're going to downsize, and they need to sell that big house. So they need to give me a call so I can take care of that for them and help them out.
Now, is home staging something you can only do in an empty property, or can you do it in a home that is still being lived in?
That's a great question. I actually do most of my home staging in houses that are already occupied. And instead of spending lots and lots of money buying new things, what I tend to do is use what you already have and just rearrange things in order to get the look that we're looking for.
What is the look you're looking for that's most attractive to buyers?
The look is, it's hard to explain. It's a simplified look. So it's countertops. We don't want any coffee pots. We don't want crock pots. We don't want coffee mug trees.
Lack of clutter.
And it's really hard for people because they say, well, I use the coffee maker every day.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're having an open house or you're having a private showing, you need to make your house look like it came out of House Beautiful or Better Homes and Gardens.
Or at least for the photography session that every home buyer has.
Exactly.
You could do those things. Are there any trends in color? We always laugh about saying everything's in Bloomington beige because interior walls, exterior curbs, there's been a lot of brown in this town. And I'm just curious if anything has changed as far as the home staging or interior design of colors you should gravitate towards for your base color.
That's a great question. I would steer away from white. I know some people who have actually spent the money to have every room in their house painted white.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that's a disadvantage because most people are going to want some kind of color and they're not going to want to buy a house that they have to go then and paint every single room. But I still stick to the Bloomington brown, the mochas. Those tend to be really selling. That's what most people are expecting to see.
Okay.
I have seen some more coffee colors coming in and some kind of pumpkin-y colors, some kind of orange.
It's still in that earth tone, though.
Right. An orange brown's kind of nice. It's nice to do an accent wall sometimes, and your stager can help you with that. But really, really important that number one investment is paint. And you should really think about repainting if you have any kind of color that's not a neutral.
Eggshell, flat, semi-gloss, any opinion there?
Well, if you have impurities in your walls, you want to go with eggshell.
Okay.
But what I always suggest is it's worth the time to spackle and sand. And then I go with a satin or a semi-gloss, usually satin. You do want to go with a semi-gloss in a bathroom because there's a lot of water.
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't want to get that soaking into the paint. So do semi-gloss in the bathrooms.
Susie, I could talk to you for hours, but I think what I need to do is make an appointment like everybody else. Susie Bittner, B-U-E-T-T-N-E-R. Yes, she's on Facebook. Yes, you can call or text her at 433-5894 because she was featured on Extreme Home Makeover, and congratulations on that.
Thank you.
She also has an easy-to-remember email address, extrememakeoverdesigner@yahoo. extrememakeoverdesigner@yahoo.com. Come back and see us, and we'll talk more trends, okay?
Oh, I can't wait. Yes.
Thank you very much.